The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome to Part-Time Genius, a production of iHeartRadio. Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
Did you hear about that pigeon that sold at auction for over $1 million?
You know, I know you may find this surprising, but I actually don't keep up with the world of pigeon auctions. But seriously, though, did somebody actually pay $1 million for a pigeon?
It's actually slightly better than that. Somebody paid $1.4 million for a pigeon. And they did it on this site. It's an auction site called Pippa, which is short for Pigeon Paradise, which almost makes all of this better. But to be fair, this was no ordinary bird. This high-priced Belgian pigeon is actually an esteemed champion racer, and his name is Armando. He's 5 years old. He's widely considered the best of the best long-distance pigeons in the world. So for the buyer, having a champion bird as young as Armando means plenty of chances to breed him and to hopefully pass on his traits to future flyers.
You know, I actually don't think I realized that investing in pigeons could be this lucrative.
I know, you should have got into it years ago.
Okay. But,
most of us don't give pigeons nearly as much credit as they deserve. I mean, the ones we're used to seeing can look drab or dirty, but the truth is pigeons are exceptionally smart animals, and they've been using that brain power for the good of mankind for thousands of years. So in light of that, I thought we could use today's episode to give pigeons their due finally, from their roles in scientific breakthroughs to all the times they delivered mail for us. So there's a lot to cover. Let's dive in.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hattikader. And on the other side of that soundproof glass, showing off his dance skills by doing the cuckoo pigeon, that's our friend and producer, Tristan McNeil. And I have to say, Bert may have invented this dance and may have made it famous on Sesame Street back in the 70s, I think it was. But Tristan, I don't know about you, Mango. I feel like he's perfected it.
He really has. You know, Gabe actually sent me some research on this, on doing the pigeon. And apparently in the original opening, Bert is just hanging out watching home movies of pigeons projected on his wall. And then a few seconds into the footage, he tells the viewer, "I love pigeons more than anything else in the world besides oatmeal." And then he busts out doing this whole choreographed dance and routine. And I just don't remember any of that, but it sounds so good.
Well, I can't speak to his oatmeal obsession, but Bert's right about pigeons. I mean, they are much cooler than we think. Just as an example, I was reading this week that pigeons are actually capable of understanding abstract concepts, including space and time. Are you with me on this?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. So it's definitely not something that you'd guess just by looking at them, but A couple of years back, there was this team of scientists at the University of Iowa that showed just how smart pigeons really are. So the team tested a group of pigeons by placing them in front of computer screens. And then they would show them one of two lines, either this 6-centimeter line or a 24-centimeter line. And each of the lines was paired with its own symbol. So anytime the pigeons saw a line, they were supposed to peck the symbol that corresponded with the correct length. So whenever the birds got it right, the scientists fed them this treat as a way to reinforce that they had chosen, you know, the correct answer on this.
Which shows that pigeons can tell the difference between different line lengths, but you said pigeons perceive time as well, right?
Yeah, so this is actually where things get really interesting, because the scientists tested the pigeons not only on the length of the lines, but also on how long they were displayed for, so either 2 seconds or 8 seconds. And the results show that pigeons connect the concepts of space and time in this really interesting way. So whenever the birds saw a short line displayed for 8 seconds, they would peck the symbol meant for a long line, because the line had been displayed for a longer period of time. The pigeons actually judged it to be longer in length than it really was. And this way of thinking also persisted when the birds were tested on long lines being displayed. So anytime the pigeons saw a long line displayed for just 2 seconds, they would peck the symbol meant for an 8-second duration. Because the line was longer in length, the pigeons thought it existed for a greater amount of time.
So that would mean pigeons actually perceive time in relation to space, right? Which is what humans do, like using the number of people in a line to gauge how long a wait might be, for instance.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And studies have shown that elephants and a few other primates tend to connect these concepts as well. The only thing weird here is that pigeons actually lack the part of the brain that processes space and time that other animals have. So pigeons are making these same abstract connections that we are, but they're doing so through some other method that we actually haven't figured out yet.
Which is pretty amazing. It actually reminds me of this study I read about a while back where this Japanese psychologist, who's named Shigeru Watanabe, he trained a bunch of pigeons to distinguish between paintings done by Picasso and ones done by Monet. And the birds got so good at recognizing the two different styles that they could even sort out works of cubism and impressionism done by other artists.
I mean, it kind of makes you wonder if they preferred one style over the other when they were looking at it.
I mean, it's funny because the same researcher later conducted a different pigeon experiment where he trained a group of them to judge the artwork of elementary students. And apparently he showed the birds 2 dozen paintings made by students in Tokyo, and he taught the pigeons which of the paintings could be considered good and which ones should be labeled bad. I mean, he did this by taking the grades assigned by the school's teachers and a panel of other adults. And anyway, once the pigeons had a grasp on what made a good painting or a bad painting, they were presented 10 new paintings. And amazingly, the pigeons were able to correctly identify which of these paintings would get low marks by the panel. And what's interesting is that the findings suggest that pigeons can naturally categorize things based on shape, color, and even texture, which is impressive because, you know, not a lot of other species have that trait.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it's one more unexpected thing we have in common with them.
Right. And this list keeps getting longer. Apparently, there's one more thing. Pigeons are the only non-primates we know with ability to recognize letters. So in a 2016 study, this comes out of New Zealand, a team successfully trained 4 pigeons to recognize dozens of English words, including whether or not they were spelled correctly. And the smartest pigeon in the group learned a staggering 58 words, which it was able to distinguish from roughly 1,000 made-up words. In contrast, the dullest pigeon, or maybe the least motivated of these birds, still managed to build an impressive 26-word vocabulary during its time in the lab.
All right, so these birds weren't actually reading the words, right? Like they didn't learn what the words meant or anything. They just memorized what the words look like. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So they didn't have the meanings. It was just spellings. But, you know, while pigeons are smart enough that they can learn all these neat tricks, it's not like they're ever really called upon to be art critics in the wild. And at the end of the day, it does sort of seem like pigeons have all these powers of perception, but maybe aren't living up to their potential in the wild.
I mean, but there's got to be a reason that they're capable of these skills, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's true biologically, but in all the experiments we mentioned, the pigeons were kind of making distinctions based on things that humans taught them. Like impressionist art has all these features, or the word banana looks and is spelled like this.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine there are cases where recognizing visual patterns might help a pigeon, you know, forage for food or evade a predator. Like, and maybe one notices their nest isn't the way they left it, and that tips them off that something dangerous is in the area or something like that. But going back to what you said about humans guiding and rewarding pigeons' behavior, what's funny is that's, you know, something we unconsciously do, like including outside the laboratory setting. For instance, back in 2011, there were these two researchers in Paris, and they discovered that pigeons can remember the appearance and behavior of specific people. So here's how it went. Over the course of multiple sessions, these two researchers went to a local park and they fed this same flock of pigeons. So the first time they go out, one researcher fed the birds and then just stood there while they ate this food. Meanwhile, the other researcher put some food down and then immediately turned hostile and chased the pigeons away. I'm sure everybody else in the park was enjoying this, but the researchers then repeated the experiment again and again, except during the subsequent visits, neither of them chased away the pigeons. And here's the thing. The pigeons actually remembered which researcher had been nice to them and which one had shooed them away. And so whenever the researchers returned, the pigeons continuously avoided that researcher who had shunned them in the first place, even though he hadn't done anything like that on any other occasion.
Huh, that's pretty interesting. So what kind of like visual cues were the pigeons picking up? Like, was the hostile researcher bigger or more intimidating or facial hair? Like what was the distinction?
Yeah, when I was reading about this, that was what I had assumed as well, is that maybe one researcher just looked less threatening or was wearing more attractive color or something like that. But they actually accounted for all of this in the experiment. The researchers were the same sex, age, build, skin color. They dressed similarly. It's true that each wore a different colored lab coat, but, you know, I mean, they also switched lab coats on different visits, and the pigeons could still always tell which researcher had been hostile on that first encounter. So the most likely explanation for this, according to experts, is that pigeons recognize the researchers by their faces. So not only does that show how pigeons might use their perceptive powers in the wild, it also shows that pigeons are really smart about which visual information to keep track of. Like, you know, take the different colored lab coats, for instance. It seems like the obvious feature to remember, like since a lab coat would have, you know, covered like 90% of their body.
Yeah.
But it's like our version of feathers, you would think at least. And yet the pigeons zeroed in on the researchers' facial traits, which is something that couldn't easily be changed day to day. And so according to these researchers, that distinction is likely something pigeons have picked up on, you know, over their years of living in cities and around other humans.
Which makes a ton of sense. And I'm actually glad you're bringing up that city connection. We've talked a lot so far about the science of pigeons. So what do you say we change gears and talk a little pigeon history and how they came to cities in the first place?
That sounds good. But before we get into that, let's take a quick break.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb. Tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
You're
You're listening to Part-Time Genius, and we're talking about all the amazing things you never knew about the humble pigeon. And speaking of which, one thing I was surprised to learn this week is just how far back our relationship with pigeons actually go. For instance, archaeologists have uncovered figurines, mosaics, and other works of art depicting pigeons at dig sites in modern-day Iraq, and those artifacts are thought to date as far back as 4500 BCE. There's also evidence that pigeons were a staple food in the Middle East and Europe for thousands of years. And when you take all of that together, it's likely that the common rock pigeon, which is the species you find in most cities, may have been the very first bird that humans domesticated.
And if I remember, did that happen mainly because pigeons were an easy way to like source meat or something?
Well, I think that was certainly their main appeal at first. Wild game was often seen hard to come by in Mesopotamia, so these protein-rich rock pigeons would have been a godsend. In all likelihood, though, some hungry ancient farmer probably noticed the birds milling around his crops and decided it would be better if he let the birds roost on his farm rather than drive them away. But one of the side effects from spending so much time in close quarters was that humans started to take a liking to the birds, and not just the way they tasted. Against all odds, humans started seeing reflections of their own humanity in pigeons. For instance, unlike other animals, the pigeons were monogamous and couples working together to raise their offspring. They were seen as intelligent and fiercely protective when necessary, but also peaceful and calm when left to their own devices. And all these cultures kind of adapted the pigeon as a religious symbol or a deity as a result. For example, there are three different goddesses that were symbolized by the pigeons: Ishtar, Aphrodite, and Venus, which spans Babylonia and Greece and Roman culture. And in Christian iconography, which I know a ton about, the pigeon is used to represent the Holy Spirit, or at least that's what I read.
Now, I know we probably have a lot of listeners thinking here that you're getting your birds mixed up, because didn't those religions use doves as symbols, not pigeons?
So prepare to have your mind blown, because scientifically speaking, the words dove and pigeon refer to the same animal. They're actually one of 308 different bird species in the Colubridae family.
All right, so you're telling me that the pure white dove, a universal symbol of peace, is really just another kind of pigeon?
Mm-hmm, and vice versa. The gray rock pigeon you saw in the park the other day is also known as a rock dove.
All right, so what about the birds themselves? Like, how did every city in America wind up overrun by pigeons?
Yeah, I mean, overrun is actually a good word for it. Rock pigeons are actually an invasive species. They were originally native only to Eurasia and northern Africa, but that changed in the early 1600s when European settlers, like the French, introduced the birds to North America for the very first time. And the domesticated birds had been brought along as a source of food, or in some cases, just to be raised as a hobby. But somewhere along the way, many of them escaped to cities and made new homes for themselves on the ledges of buildings, which probably reminded them of the cliffs back home that they'd nest in the wild on. And from that point on, pigeons became a fixture in American towns and cities, really thriving in parts because pigeons aren't picky eaters. They don't have special diets like many other birds. So whatever trash or leftovers they found on city streets, that kind of suited their taste just fine.
Which I don't know why I always think about this quote, but there was that 30 Rock line where Tracy Jordan sees a pigeon eating trash and he just goes, "Stop eating people's old French fries, pigeon. Have some self-respect. Don't you know you can fly?"
Which is so good. But that lack of self-respect has benefited them over the years.
I guess so.
The world pigeon population is estimated at 400 million, with 7 million pigeons living in New York City alone. That's almost a bird for every New Yorker, minus the Bronx.
I was going to say the population in the area is about that. That's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. And all those birds in the U.S. are descended from that initial crop of European runaways?
Yeah, they're all imported. But to be fair, that wasn't always the case. So when rock pigeons were first brought to American shores in the 17th century, the continent actually had its own thriving indigenous pigeon species, and that's the passenger pigeon. And according to Menelflos, as many as 5 billion passenger pigeons lived here during the colonial era, accounting for somewhere between 25 to 40% of all birds in the entire country. However, as you probably know, that's not the case anymore. Overhunting and habitat loss, all of that kind of brought an end to the passenger pigeon in the early 20th century, with the last of their kind, this domesticated female named Martha, passing away in 1914.
All right, this is probably the strangest transition that I'm going to make today, but you queued it up so nicely for me. So speaking of dead pigeons, one thing I've always wondered is, if New York is so chock full of them, then how are there not dead ones everywhere you look? Like, at least not that I'm complaining about this, but have you ever thought about that?
You know, I haven't thought about it, but now I'm curious, what did you learn? Like, did you get an answer for this?
Well, it turns out that pigeon corpses really are something of a rarity in American cities. And the biggest reason for this is that the sheer number of predators that pigeons are up against in urban areas is greater than you would think. Like, as someone at the Smithsonian once put it, rats, cats, raccoons, foxes, possums, they all love them some pigeon, is what they said.
That is such a Smithsonian thing to say.
So Smithsonian.
So you're saying most pigeons get eaten up by predators, but what about like the old timers? I mean, there have to be some pigeons that make it to old age. So where did those guys end up?
Well, you're definitely talking about the minority here. I mean, most wild pigeons survive for 5 or 6 years on average. And that's compared to 15 years or even longer in captivity. So the ones that aren't eaten, like the lucky ones who have a lot more control over their deaths, they tend to choose these peaceful nooks and crannies for their final resting places. So maybe the air ducts of a building or the corner ledge of a skyscraper, so whether it's, you know, not quite as visible.
Huh. So I guess it really does depend on where you look.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to really want to find a dead pigeon, I guess.
It's a heck of a scavenger hunt. But, you know, the whole time we've been talking about this, I keep thinking of that story about Nixon's inaugurations. Do you remember this one?
I don't think I do remember this.
Apparently, he had a tough go at his first inauguration in 1969. Like, the Vietnam War was in full swing, and Nixon's motorcade wound up being pelted with tomatoes and rocks. So when his second inauguration came around in 73, Nixon remembered how messy things had gotten the last time. And he wanted to take every possible precaution to avoid another embarrassment. And this is how far he went, right? He had his people paint the branches of trees along the parade route with this special chemical called Roost No More. It was this gooey chemical that was supposed to make a pigeon's feet so itchy that it wouldn't want to perch above the motorcade, I guess. And yeah, and obviously he was trying to avoid droppings falling on the car. But as you can probably tell by the fact that I'm telling you this story, things did not go as planned. So for starters, the pigeons didn't mind the itchiness of Roost No More, I guess. And what's worse, they didn't mind the taste of it either. So many pigeons ate this highly toxic paste that the day of the parade, the entire route was like littered with dozens of dead and dying pigeons, which is so much worse than dirty windshields.
Oh, no kidding. Can you imagine being there? That would have been pretty brutal.
So weird.
All right. Well, now that we've seen a time when pigeons and humans didn't get along so well, I feel like we should take a look at a few examples of the opposite. You know, the times when pigeons and people lived in perfect harmony.
Yeah, let's do that. But first, another break.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb. Tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome back to Part-Time Genius. So Mango, I know it can be dicey to try and pin down the etymology of a phrase, You know, any idiom you think of can probably have a half dozen or so false origin stories. But there is one that I came across this week that was just too interesting not to talk about it. So you've heard the term stool pigeon before, right?
Sure. Like an informer or rat or whatever.
That's right. And it's kind of a strange phrase when you think about it, because number one, how does a stool fit into any of this? And number two, pigeons aren't that talkative. And you know, as far as birds go, they're actually pretty quiet.
So I hadn't thought about this before, but I'm pretty curious. Where does the term actually come from?
All right. Well, the working theory is that the phrase is this throwback to an old 16th century hunting practice where pigeons were used as decoys to lure in larger birds. As for the stool part, there are a couple of options here. One is that these decoy pigeons were tied to actual stools, like the idea being that the live pigeon would flutter in place and catch the eye of these other animals. And then the other option is that stool is really a corruption of this word stole, which is an old word for tree stump. It's spelled S-T-O-A-L-E. And in either case, though, the stool was whatever you tied the decoy pigeon to. And then sometime in the mid-1800s, Americans started applying the term to a different type of decoy. Those would be these police informers who hung around the criminal world or the criminal underworld, really. And I'm not sure who first made that connection or why, but that does seem to be where it might have come from.
Well, pigeons may not be very talkative themselves, but they are pretty amazing when it comes to delivering other people's messages. And that's thanks to their innate sense of direction. You know, pigeons can find their way back home from pretty much anywhere, even if scientists still haven't figured out how they do it.
Yeah, I actually remember we covered some of these theories way back in that superhero animal episode. So if you guys are curious about that, definitely check it out.
Definitely. And despite all the mystery around their navigational skills, the reality is that humans have been using pigeons as messengers since at least as far back as 3000 BCE. The ancient Greeks used trained pigeons to communicate the results of the Olympics. And as you might recall from our Genghis Khan episode, the Mongols developed a whole pigeon-based postal system to help connect the growing empire.
Yeah, and from what I was reading this week, they weren't the only ones who put pigeons in charge of their post. So the birds were apparently used to carry mail in the Middle East. This was as far back as the 5th century BCE, and pigeon posts still existed in some regions until as recently as the early 20th century. You take New Zealand's Great Barrier Island, for instance. They relied on a handful of competing pigeon postal services for the better part of a decade in the late 1800s. And since the island is about 60 miles away from the mainland, trained pigeons were the fastest way for residents to communicate back and forth. They even issued these special stamps that were only valid for pigeon post. And incidentally, they're believed to be the first examples of airmail stamps in the world.
So what about telegraphs, though? Weren't those around in the late 1800s?
They were, but, you know, even with that, service was spotty and the birds were pretty resilient. Like in wartime, telegraph wires could be easily cut and you never knew, you know, who might be listening in on this, you know, if they were kind of tapping the line or something. So pigeon messengers became this crucial means of communication. Actually, one famous instance comes from a carrier pigeon named Cher Ami that flew for the U.S. Army in France. This was back during World War I. Now, Cher Ami delivered 12 important messages during his military career. But on his final mission, this was October of 1918, the pigeon was shot. Actually shot both in the breast and the leg by enemy fire. And despite this injury, Cher Ami flew back to his roost with the message capsule still tied to his wounded leg. It's just unbelievable.
Which is crazy, but what did the message say?
It was from a battalion of 194 soldiers who had been isolated from other American forces, and people just assumed that they were dead. And so thanks to Cher Ami, the army learned of the soldiers' whereabouts, and they were able to get them to safety back behind American lines. And I mean, I know in the bird's mind, he wasn't trying to rescue a bunch of soldiers. He just wanted to make it back home alive. But I mean, it's still pretty incredible.
I mean, it is a little surprising that enemies were like clever enough to slice telegraph wires, but they didn't think to like bring in a few hawks to like feed on right. The pigeons and disrupt the communication. Feels like a simpler solution. But you know, here's another thing I had no idea about until this episode. Did you know that two pigeons unknowingly helped establish the Big Bang Theory?
All right, well, I hate to ask this question, but are we talking about the sitcom or like the model of the universe? Because one of these seems way more plausible than the other.
So weirdly, it is the latter. Before I get into how the pigeons fit into this, let me give some quick background. So back in 1964, two scientists in New Jersey, Robert Wilson and Arno Penzias, were experimenting with their radio telescope, and they were trying to measure the minimum brightness of the sky. But to their dismay, something was interfering with their readings. And whatever it was producing a pronounced hissing noise. Now, spoilers, what they actually heard that day was an ancient cosmic background radiation, or as Smithsonian calls it, quote, an echo of the universe at a very early moment after its birth. So although they didn't know this at the time, Wilson and Penzias had just found what would ultimately become the first proof for the Big Bang Theory. And in the moment, though, the men weren't sure what they were hearing. They thought it could be a stray signal from nearby New York, or maybe their equipment was faulty. It really could have been anything. But at one point, the most likely suspects were actually a couple of pigeons that had set up shop in the antenna array. And when the scientists discovered the bird's roost, their hopes were dashed. It was starting to look like this hissing sound was really just this embarrassing revelation that it was a couple of pigeons mucking about their instruments.
I mean, I kind of love that this is what it boiled down to. Like, it's either the afterglow of the birth of the universe or, you know, some birds just going to the bathroom. It's one or the other. Who knows?
I know, but Wilson and Penzias couldn't rule it out. Like, they had to get to the bottom of this. And so here's how Robert Wilson later described what they did. Quote, we took the pigeons, put them in a box, and mailed them as far away as we could in the company mail to a guy who fancied pigeons. He looked at them and said, these are junk pigeons, and let them go. But before long, they were right back again.
Wait, so the same pigeons came back in, like after being mailed across the country?
Yeah, because they have those homing systems, so they can find their way back from thousands of miles away, yeah, or whatever. But, you know, thankfully, the scientists were eventually able to get the array cleaned out. And after a year or so of experiments, they concluded that the hiss they heard was indeed cosmic radiation and not defecating pigeons. The bird's confusing contribution to history, though, hasn't been forgotten. And if you go to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum today, you can see the actual metal trap that Wilson and Penzias used to trap the squatter pigeon some 55 years ago.
That is quite the honor, and I feel like a well-deserved one. So what do you say we end on that note and get right into the fact off?
So here's a quick one. Because birds such as pigeons have a much higher threshold for detecting movement, they would likely see a movie shown at today's industry rate as a series of flashing slides. Like the frames we use, 24 frames per second, is fast enough to give the illusion of fluid movement to our eyes. But pigeon vision has to be able to see signs of fast-moving prey. So 24 frames per second is just way too slow for the birds to perceive.
All right, well, pigeon vision may be based on ultra-quick movement, but do you know what's even faster than a pigeon, Mango?
A lot of things.
Okay, yeah, a lot of things are. But I was specifically talking here about bees, because apparently back in 1888, a pigeon fancier and beekeeper had this friendly little contest in Germany. They challenged each other's pet of choice to this grueling 3.5 mile race, and wouldn't you know it, the bee won by a full 25 seconds.
That is impressive, but I mostly want to know how this contest happened in the first place. Like, how bored must these guys have been to like organize a race like that?
Good question.
Pretty strange. But okay, so since we're on the subject of pigeon losses, I have to tell you that there are catfish in France that have learned to lunge out of the water in an effort to hunt pigeons. And while the catfish aren't the most adept hunters on land, as you might imagine, they do pretty well for themselves in the water. And their success rate of catching pigeons is an impressive 28%.
That's a lot higher than I would have guessed, to be honest with you. All right. Well, since we're talking pigeons, I couldn't leave the episode without, of course, talking about Nikola Tesla, who you might remember was totally obsessed with pigeons. I feel like that fact always has to come up here. And one female pigeon in particular. So Tesla once said of her, I love that pigeon as a man loves a woman. And she loved me. As long as I had her, there was a purpose to my life.
Such romance. You know, I was looking up scientists and pigeons this week too. And one thing I didn't realize was Darwin was also obsessed with pigeons. He belonged to a London fancy pigeon club and he owned a flock. And in fact, Mental Floss reports his 1968 book, The Variation of Animals and Plants Under Domestication, has two full chapters on pigeons. Meanwhile, dogs and cats share a single chapter.
Yeah, no, that seems fair. So, all right, well, here's one I really like. This artist named Laurel Roth Hope crochets suits for urban pigeons.
Well, I already like where this is going. Tell me more.
Well, she basically creates these disguises that pigeons can wear to look like extinct birds. It's basically a, you know, cosplay for pigeons, I guess, but... But I guess it's also to raise awareness for what our parks could have looked like if we were a little more careful with nature.
I like that idea. And I do hope I get to see some of these extinct, not extinct birds in the city. And I like that fact. So I'm going to give it to you this week.
Well, thank you so much. And it definitely wasn't easy, but I kind of like that fact. But that does it for today's episode of Part-Time Genius. From Gabe, Tristan, Mango, Lowell, and me, thanks so much for listening. Part-Time Genius is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.